and welcome. You are listening to Let's Talk Health with Dr. Mike. And this is been being pre-recorded. So that's why you probably didn't hear something before. Anyhow, I'm traveling right now, and we're doing some Purium talks up the West Coast, all the way up to Seattle. Not sure where I am right this second. But what we're going to be talking about today is stress, the not-so-silent killer. And I think everyone can relate. It's become epidemic in our society. In fact, many, many people that I talk to have even admitted to me that if they don't feel stressed, something's wrong. Now, that's pretty crazy. I think we'll all agree with that. But believe it or not, there are people who actually think that way. So it shows the not only epidemic nature of this, but also the addictive nature of this. And stress has become addictive. It's almost like if we don't feel some tension, like in our body, something's wrong. So obviously, we want to be working on this as much as we can. Now, obviously, it's important, since this call is sponsored by Purium, to give you some ideas of things that you can do nutritionally wise to help you better cope with stress. And, of course, one of the best things is American Ginseng and our B Energetic. Those two products are phenomenal for managing the physical properties of stress, especially the B Energetic, because it has cordyceps and American ginseng, and both of these ingredients can really help with the hormone issues and so on and so forth. But just taking these does not get you off the hook. You want to do more. An interesting quote from years ago: the mind, harried by constant worries, ages swiftly and makes the body appear old and unhealthy. Nervousness interferes with all the normal functions of the human body and mind, upsetting the physical, mental, and spiritual machinery. Still yet another quote: the disturbance of mental equilibrium, which results in nervous disorders, is caused by continuous states of excitement or excessive stimulation of the senses, indulgence in constant thoughts of fear, anger, melancholy, remorse, envy, sorrow, hatred, discontent, or worry, and lack of the necessities for normal and happy living, such as right food, proper exercise, fresh air, sunshine, agreeable work, and a purpose in life, are all causes of nervous disease. Now, I think everyone can relate to this list. We live right now in an incredibly crazy world, which obviously lends itself easily to stress. Now, in a book called The Stress of Life, Hans Selle, who's both an MD and a PhD, he is the president, International Institute of Stress, and director of the Institute of Experimental Medicine and Surgery at the University of Montreal. I don't know if he's still doing this. This was quite a few years ago, but the information is right on. And it details the harmful effects of these negative emotions on body chemistry. And he says, although we cannot avoid stress as long as we live, he writes, we can learn a great deal about how to keep its damaging side effects, distress, to a minimum. For instance, we are just beginning to see that many common diseases are largely due to errors in our adaptive response to stress rather than to direct damage by germs, poisons, or life experience. In this sense, many nervous and emotional disturbances, high blood pressure, gastric and duodenal ulcers, and certain types of sexual, allergic, cardiovascular, and renal derangements appear to be essentially diseases of adaptation. So in other words, all of these conditions that he just mentioned are all completely brought about by lifestyle choices. We don't catch these. We don't catch high blood pressure. We don't catch ulcers. We don't catch allergic and cardiovascular problems. These are all created because of our stress mechanism. For example, one person might be highly allergic to something, and other people, it doesn't bother them at all. Why? Because their coping system is much better. And they're not creating their own toxic chemicals on top of the body's having to deal with this allergen. So, as you can see, it can be pretty, pretty crazy. Now, Dr. Selly, explains, diseases of adaptation are a result of our ungoverned excessive reaction to stress. Actually, a certain amount of stress is beneficial. Hormones produced during the first stages of acute stress key up the body and mind for peak accomplishments during short periods of exertion. And I think we've all experienced this and read stories about 21-year-old mother who is able to pick up the front of a car that her baby got stuck under. That's these chemicals. But to conform to the body's natural rhythms of activity and rest, it is equally important to tune down. If one habitually whips his system into unnaturally prolonged states of excitement by stress-induced hyperfunctioning of the endocrine glands, he becomes intoxicated with his own stress hormones so that he's unable to bring physical and mental functions back to a relaxed state. This leads to what is called the stage of exhaustion, a kind of accelerated premature aging, a state in which a person is more likely to contract degenerative diseases. As emotional pressure builds, aided by modern-day stressors such as urban noise, highly processed and toxic diets, the modern speed mania, and conflicting value systems, an ever-increasing proportion of the human population dies from these wear and tear diseases. Now, this article was written before email and cell phones about 30-some-odd years ago. So, in other words, it's far more severe now in terms of the speed mania and the constant influx of information that we're being asked to deal with and process. It's insane. Studies have also shown that even accidents often occur as a result of our uncontrolled reactions to stressful situations. Four of every five drivers involved in fatal traffic accidents before they even stepped into their cars. That's pretty significant. In short, mental and emotional tensions that we create by getting keyed up more than is necessary for best performance often results in distress, that's D-I-S hyphen S-T-R-E-S-S, dis-ease, and accidents. So what's then the cure, Dr. Selly asks? We must change our response to stress by learning how to react calmly and in a controlled way to life's experiences. Now, is this easy? No, it's not easy because we have become conditioned. You see, I think most people would say they want to be free. They value freedom, freedom of choice. They don't want someone else to tell them what to do. That's part of the human spirit, which is good. But how many of us can actually say we are even close to being free when we are controlled by reactions that we experience that we seem to be totally unprepared to cope with? So freedom is a whole different ball game. We're not free at all. We are constantly reacting, and our reactions wear our bodies out. Here's another quote from a wise person. Look at life unmasked. Observe the perpetual current of emotions and thoughts that arise within you. Essentially, conditions are neither good nor bad. They are always neutral, seeming to be depressing or encouraging according to the understanding attitude of the mind of the individual. Now, that says a lot. What does it really say? It actually says that it is possible for you to take charge of what is going on and to be more proactive about simply observing. You see, if you observe what's going on, you have gained 90% right there. And that is really significant. Really, really significant. Just by recognizing the emotion and the thought that's going on is like grabbing the snake by the neck, and it can no longer strike you. You're now in control. So awareness is a huge factor. A huge factor. Now, I'm not suggesting that people become neurotic watching their thoughts and their emotions. But I am suggesting from this quote that it's a good idea to become aware of what is really going on so that you become the master of your ship. That's what is crucial. Incredibly crucial. And how do you do this? You slow down. That's number one. If you're moving slower, you can actually watch as your thoughts go through processes. And when you catch yourself with negative thoughts, with judgmental thoughts, with evil or dark thoughts, you can stop yourself and say, wait a second, that's not where I want to go. And it's the same thing with emotions. You know, we can get all keyed up. And there are people, and it's been proven. I mean, I know this for a fact myself. This happened to me about almost 30 years ago at this point. And after I experienced it, I said, I ain't doing this no more. But I got so furious and angry that I was basically out of control. This is how you have passion murders. And the fact was, is I got to the point where I could no longer control things. Now, luckily, I was able to just cool off. In fact, I remember I jumped into a pool, which definitely stopped me. But when you are in the midst of the reaction, whether it be anger or jealousy or greed or whatever, any of these charming negative qualities and emotions, you'll find that once you've pulled the trigger, you can't pull the bullet back. It goes where it goes. And so obviously you do not want to be a bearer of this kind of thing. And so by slowing down and actually keeping at least an idea of your feelings and your emotions, you can really keep this kind of thing from happening, which means that the body does not deal with the kind of stress that otherwise it would have, which means you're not causing the body to age at 10 times faster than it should. You're not causing your hormones to go into spasms. You're not causing your heart to have palpitations. That's a lot of value, obviously. So watching is the secret. Another quote. Nervousness is a malady that can be overcome by a specific medicine. Calmness. The sufferer must be willing to analyze his condition and remove the disintegrating emotions and thoughts that are little by little destroying him. Objective analysis of one's problems and maintaining calmness in all situations of life will heal the most persistent case of nervousness. So here we are again, folks. Objective analysis. It means we're looking at things like from an outsider's perspective. And the last thing you want to do is you do not want to judge it. You just simply want to recognize it so you can stop doing it. It's impossible to stop doing anything until you recognize that you're doing it. I know that sounds really stupid and basic, but it's true. How often we get ourselves into a even panic situation over someone else's health or the way they treated us or this or that, and before we know it, we're experiencing all sorts of emotions that may not even be valid. I mean, a good example of this, which I think everyone can relate to, let's say you're driving down an interstate highway. And you're in the right lane, and you're just going, you know, 50, 55, and you just sort of wanting to be relaxed. And a guy comes into the, the entrance ramp. And, of course, he's doing something completely different, like, you know, probably talking on his cell phone or maybe shaving. Who knows what he's doing. But he basically cuts you off. And, I mean, you have to slow down. Otherwise, you'd hit him. Now, this guy who just pulled onto the freeway is clueless. He's in la-la land. He doesn't know that he just cut you off. I mean, he would if you started blowing your horn dramatically, then he'd probably catch on, oh, maybe I did something. But the reality is he's not going to know. And at this point, it probably doesn't matter if he does know. So blowing your horn, which you think is going to make you feel better, actually doesn't. Because what will make you feel better is not hitting the guy. Okay? But the reality is that it is possible to go through an entire series of emotions just from that experience. And keep in mind that the target of your emotions and the thoughts that you have about that person will not affect him at all. Because he's in another place. But the damage that it will do to your body is colossal. And that's what you need to be aware of. This accounts for probably 90% of the damage that we do to ourselves, that we get ourselves irritated and angry, sometimes at situations, at computers, at cars. You know, now if we're doing it at a person and we're talking to them, then we're really, that's not a good thing because we're throwing up on them. And, you know, they may have done something really stupid, but that still is no reason to go throw up on them your negative, you know, toxic emotions. Because it does you more damage than it does them. But I think you'll be the first to understand, as I was some 30 years ago, that I got sick to my stomach from the experience of feeling this kind of anger and losing control. And I said, I ain't doing this no more. So that's the secret, is awareness. Now, what do we need for this awareness? It means that we have to stay in the present moment. We have to be aware of what we're doing and how we're doing it. So to continue, here's a good quote. The person of concentration shapes his own life. If you make up your mind that you are going to control your circumstances according to law, your circumstances will adjust themselves accordingly. Eventually, you must learn to lead a controlled existence. So one way or another, you want to get to the point where you are actually in control, which means that you're watching your thoughts, you're watching your reactions, and you're going to become happier. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Dr. Selly says, doctors are finding that the answer to this dilemma lies not so much in changing one's external conditions or situations, but rather in changing the person's reaction to those conditions by learning to control the emotions. Now, we don't want to suppress emotions. We want to control them through understanding. So in other words, Dr. Selly says, having come to the conclusion that in our life events, the stressor effects depend not so much upon what we do or what happens to us, but on the way we take it and react. And he says in the informative book, today, looking back upon 40 years of research on stress, which means it would have gone back to the 30s, the 40s, my greatest hope lies in the possibilities it offers of arriving at a code of conduct based upon natural law. This is a medical doctor. It's a medical doctor talking about natural law. Now, one thing I would like to state here, and I know this is probably going to, you know, cause some confusion and concern by some people, but it's just the way it is, and, you know, medical doctors, philosophers, sociologists will all tell you this. I think everyone recognizes that there's a natural law about gravity. You jump off of a 10-story building, you're not going to fly up. You're going to fly down. You're going to fall down. And you might even die. You're certainly going to cause a lot of injuries and breaking things even if you don't die. Okay, so that's a natural law, the law of gravity. I think everyone's aware of the law of cause and effect. Isaac Newton came up with it, you know, that if you have a force going one way, you're going to have an opposite force going the other way. It's the nature of creation. But what a lot of people are unaware of, and I'm not going to get into judgment here, I'm just simply offering this as a food for thought. Natural law also deals with situations and issues that are social in nature, that are ethical in nature, and that have a lot to do with the way people live their lives. There are natural laws. Now, man thinks that he can pass laws that usurp natural law. And man can. There's no doubt about it, he can do that. But the question is, does that lead to happiness? Does that lead to balance and harmony? And in many cases, the answer is unequivocally no. But right now, we live in a society where everything goes. You know, from assisted suicide, you know, to abortion, to this, to that. I mean, I'm not putting judgments on these things. I'm just simply saying we have to recognize that there are natural laws that are in effect, whether we like it or not. And if we're going to go against those laws, we are going to have to pay consequences, just like if we jump off that building. The consequence is going to be falling. If we put our hand on a stove and the burner's on, and we say, oh, isn't that pretty, that flame, we're going to get burned. That's natural law. So natural law affects everything in creation. And not only just those physical things that we can see, but all things. And so we got to keep that in mind when we're talking about how we're going to relate to the social fabric and so on and so forth. Now, using Dr. Selle's discoveries, and of course those of other researchers on stress, many behavioral scientists and doctors are urging patients and people to change to lifestyles and attitudes that will help them react more calmly and naturally to stressful situations and which will result in a more healthy, balanced, harmonious life. One way to cope with purely mental stress, experts advise, is to seek a physical diversion. Take time to play tennis, do some gardening, take a walk, something that helps to dissolve the localized tension and equalize stress throughout one's being. Now, conversely, if your work is mostly physical and routine, then having a hobby that stimulates your intellect and your creativity can be very relaxing and helpful in stress reduction. Now, since, you know, man's nature is many-sided, it demands all-around development. So there's not one solution that fixes everything. The issue is understanding how things are and wanting to work and wanting to do everything from a central place of calmness. That's the secret. 100%. Now he goes on to say, he says, if the problem is a matter of simply having too much to do, we'll pick out the most pressing items for immediate attention and get to the other ones later. And if we're doing just too much, physically and mentally, the problem is one of excessive general stress, quote unquote. And this cannot be handled by any other means than just relaxation. And the great remedy here is to learn to relax as quickly and completely as possible. And the way you do that is by trying to stay present in the present moment. In other words, don't worry about what happened yesterday or even 10 minutes ago, and don't be concerned and put all your attention on what you're going to do tomorrow. So in conclusion, the doctor says at the heart of every behavioral system recommended by specialists is the need for a conscious understanding of the problems occasioned by stress and the ability to remain as much as possible in voluntary control of any situation. Now sometimes the control is realizing that you can't be in control, and that's good too. And he says, to this end, the West can learn much from the heritage of Eastern tradition. You know, especially, you know, mind control, yoga, things like this. And we are reaching a day in the Western world when the inner science of self-control will be found as necessary as the outer conquest of nature. Now, we have spent a lot of time in the last few decades trying to beat nature at her own game. We're never going to do it. We're going to pay sooner or later, and it's better to do it now. So friends, this has been a lot of information, and it is recorded, so I would highly recommend, you know, sharing this with other people and maybe even reviewing it yourself to really, first of all, understand the implications of it, but more importantly, to put these ideas into practice. You know, there's an old saying, knowledge is power. It's not. Applied knowledge is power. Just simply knowing something doesn't do you one bit of good unless you use the information to make your own life better. So hopefully this information has helped you, And while you're working on this, keep your superfood intake high. Like I said, the Be Energetic is very good. Love is wonderful. The Power Shake, any of the superfoods, give your body more nutrients, which are necessary in any kind of stressful situation. So don't just simply wait to calm down. Work on both things at the same time. Keep your nutrition up and keep your calmness, your awareness at the front of everything. So friends, it's been a pleasure being with you. I'll be back live with you in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, feel free and call me. It's going to take me probably a little bit more time to get back to you while I'm on the road, but I will answer, and I will certainly try to get back to emails as fast as can. So be good, God bless, and bye for now.